There's also a recent survey by the Institute of Policy Studies that shows hawkers have raised their prices by 30 cents max, and the ultimate champion for hawkers, KFC Tow, has something to say about this.
I know of hawkers, you know, I've seen some hawkers selling things at $3 in this crazy price world today. Mm-hmm. And I go right out and ask them, hey, why you sell so cheap? You know what they tell me? They should be given some kind of award. You know, they shouldn't. They say, all my customers are poor people. How dare I raise my price?
Well, at least one Singaporean believes prices have gone up quite significantly. She was in Singapore after 3 years away and realized the price of hawker food has gone up from about $4 on average to perhaps closer to $6 or $7.
And it prompted her to write a commentary at CNA.Asia called, if we want to preserve Singapore's hawker culture, we need to be willing to pay for it. She's a cookbook author, and she's the founder of Singapore Noodles. That's a website. She's Pamelia Cha speaking with us from Melbourne. Hi again, how are you?
Hi guys, how are you? I'm good.
We're doing great. Thank you for your commentary. And you wrote about how you felt like a hypocrite talking about hawker prices, because initially you felt prices were too low and now they've gone up. So how much are you willing to pay for your food at hawker centres now, Pamelia?
I feel like however I answer this question, I'm going to get a lot of flack.
Probably, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because I feel I feel like if I were to quote a price that is too low, people would say that I'm contradicting what I wrote in the commentary, which is, you know, I was trying to advocate Singaporeans to pay more for hawker food. But if I were to quote something that is too high, people would say that I'm out of touch or I am speaking from a privileged position. But I had a look at the median salary in Singapore and it was about $56,000 per year. And that is on par with other first world nations like Australia and Netherlands. And just speaking from where I live right now, Australia, a basic meal, irregardless of how tasty it is, costs $15 at least. And that is a big contrast to the kind of hawker prices that we've been used to paying, or even now that we're currently paying in the hawker centres. And, you know, just quoting Ravi Manon, whom I quoted in my commentary, he says that we are currently paying third world prices for our food. But of course, there are so many other factors to think about, like the deferring cost of labour.
So how do you reconcile this? So when you come here, do you willingly fork out $6 or $7 without trying to complain too much these days?
Yeah, I think having lived in Singapore almost my whole life, I do definitely feel this reflexive sense of, oh my gosh, how come it has increased so much? But I think it's because, you know, we've been so used to these artificially low prices. A lot of these hawkers, the older hawkers, they've had their rent subsidized by the government. You know, They were able to provide hawker food at an affordable price for so many years.
And this is something that's probably not sustainable. And I guess the pricing right now, I'm making some assumptions here. The pricing right now reflects rentals which are closer to market prices. And what we're also seeing, presumably, is the cost of ingredients having gone up. Mm-hmm. And really, as the government has said before, you can't really control that too much, right?
Yeah, that's right. So right now, hawkers go through a bidding system, which determines their rental. So this means that the traditional hawker is almost always going to be outpriced by chains, which can bid more money to get the rental spot. And so if they win, they would be forced to operate on really slim margins if the rental fees are high. But even if the rental fees are reasonable and market rate, the hawkers are in a very difficult position because they have to grapple with the consumer's expectations of non-market rate food.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
And you talked about how it's been framed for too long as affordable, cheap, and so it must be. And this is problematic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I think this is an ideology that is so ingrained in all Singaporeans that hawker food is a kind of general subsidy available to us, that there is a psychological barrier for us to pay more than $3 to $4 for food.
And this subsidy is really subsidized by the hawkers' salaries, according to a former hawker, Shen Tan.
Yeah, exactly. So I think a lot of people, they feel that hawkers are social workers or are charities. But I feel that the public has to understand that at the core of the matter, hawkers are business owners like any one of us, you know? And as business owners, they do have the prerogative to charge what they think they are worth. You know, if the consumers do not perceive the same value for hawker food, then they'll take their business somewhere else. But I don't believe that Singaporeans should say that hawkers have no right to charge a certain price.
Are hawkers sometimes guilty of undercharging, you know, for various reasons, out of a sense of guilt,
or
feeling that, you know, I mean, you actually spoke about your own experience asking for a bit of extra in your fish soup, and then the lady who was serving you was apologetic because she had to charge you a bit more.
Yeah, for sure. And I think I feel so sad for the whole situation because the hawkers have internalized these standards and expectations as well. I think yesterday I saw a news article on 8 Days that wrote something like a hawker couple who are selling 30 cent drinks were saying something such as, "We are not working for a bungalow." You know, so I think there is this characterization of hawkers who charge more as being greedy. And I see lots of complaints on social media about hawkers who wear Rolex watches or live in bungalows or driving BMWs. I feel that these are very Singaporean aspirations. So why should our hawkers be exempt? Why are we upset when hawkers do well? We should want them to do well so that the hawker trade will be an attractive one for young people.
So a factory owner wearing a Rolex should be seen, you know, no differently from a hawker who wears a Rolex.
Exactly.
Well.
So talk to us about the hawkers, your favorite ones that have shut their doors because business wasn't profitable.
Mm-hmm.
How can we help people like this, Pamelia?
Yeah, I think ultimately it's a very complex problem and the solution cannot just be found in an 800-word commentary. You know, it's not as simple as just paying more for hawker food. We also have to look at the rental fees, the additional fees that they're paying. And I feel that something that can be done is that the government can intervene by absorbing rent. Because if we were to push for hawker centres to be true icons of Singapore's cultural heritage, then we have to go beyond preserving the facade and make sure that the livelihoods of hawkers are being preserved as well.
All right, Pamelia. We appreciate you talking to us here on Asia First. You
suddenly
have a great
feel
week.
So awake, don't you, Arnold?
Absolutely, you know.
Thanks for having me, guys. It's been a pleasure.
We leave you with, you know, a thought, something that Pamelia put down as well. Why should a hawker be subsidizing you and lowering his or her salary?
Have you ever thought about it this way, guys? Really?
Fantastic. Pamelia, thank you once again. Pamelia Chia, best-selling author and founder of Singapore Noodles, a newsletter with the mission of keeping Singapore's food heritage alive.